Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all our ships at sea. It's time for the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude. The Brenham Sports Line is brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and Classic Air Cleaner, South Market Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. Tonight on the Brenham Sports Line, we'll talk Super Bowl. Yes, Craig Montana will be joining me, and we'll just break down yesterday's Super Bowl 52, and we'll take a look at the commercials from the program, as we always do every year. But in the first half of the program, we'll be talking with Brenham Cub football coach and athletic director Glenn West about the recent realignment. That's coming up. Coach Glenn West in just a moment. On the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude on KWHI.
This is a Budweiser beer. Smooth, crisp, beechwood-aged beer. Brewed the hard way. No shortcuts. So when we wake up itching to prove the world wrong, this is the beer we'll drink. When we aren't afraid to fail, when we outwork and outheart everyone, this is the beer we'll drink. We've got things to do. Great, big, amazing, life-changing things to do. Ambition in one hand, Budweiser in the other. So when that prototype finally works, when we stop calling our startup a startup because it's not a startup anymore, when we win championships we're not supposed to win, when we say we're going to change the world and we actually change the world, this is the beer we'll drink. Budweiser. This is the beer we drank for the last 140 years, so it's going to be the beer we'll drink for 140 more. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
When your clothes have to look good, trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and drapery cleaned and pressed. And upon request, one-day dry cleaning. And it's a promise. You'll look great in everything they do. Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market in Brenham.
Welcome back to the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude. Coming up in the second half of the program, Craig Montana and I will break down the Super Bowl, take a look back at everything involved, including the commercials and halftime, as well as the game. And that's all coming up here on the Sports Line. But right now, with us on the Sports Line is our good friend, longtime Brenham Cub football coach and athletic director, Coach Glenn West. And, Coach, how you doing today?
Doing great. Doing really good. It was a heck of a game yesterday, wasn't it?
Boy, it really was. And really, we're going to talk about redistricting here in a minute. But first, let's talk about yesterday's game. Boy, an exciting game, a wild game, and heard our share of Malcolm Brown's name called yesterday afternoon as well.
Yeah, he played really well. And one time in the ball game, they said they felt like he was one of the top two defensive line people that they had on their team, and so it was a really neat to watch that matchup and watch how he played. And I think even though they lost, he played extremely well in that game.
Really did. And and the thing is, what really, when you sit there and you hear these words about Malcolm, it's just got to fill you with pride.
Yeah, that guy is, you never know about injury, but if he can stay away from injuries, I feel like he's going to have a long career, and he works really, really hard. They love him. Their coaches talk about how hard he works and how dependable he is, and just doing everything right now. And we couldn't be happier. And what a model to show, our other athletes on where you can start and where you can end. And he's at the pinnacle, that's for sure.
And of course, the game goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, and I tell you what, another Super Bowl for a Texas high school quarterback.
Yeah, and I was really, you know, obviously wanted Malcolm to do well and to win, but couldn't help but be proud of what happened last night, you know, with the Eagles. And, you know, it's an ironic story. It really is. But quarterback for the Eagles actually went to college with my wife's sister. And she was best friends with his wife and had been to several games through the, you know, through the years of time that he's been in professional football. He's really not, you know, had the career that he may want to, and just really proud for him last night. And boy, did he ever play well. He really played well last night.
And in the weeks leading up, you know, you had a lot of features, stories on different, on NBC and CBS and ESPN and everything had feature stories on Nick Foles. You can't help but root for this guy. What a quality guy he is.
He really is. And, you know, like you said, he came from Westlake High School in Austin, and just kind of under the radar type person, really, really solid individual. And it's good to see good guys do well.
Absolutely. And you know, he strikes me as the kind of guy that if, you know, if Carson Wentz comes back a little earlier than expected and he winds up having to go back to the backup role, that he seems like the kind of guy that while he may not like it, he'll accept it and he'll do the job.
Well, there's one thing that, that will be able to be said. You can never take this championship and MVP trophy away from him. That will be for the rest of his life. And if you look through at the different people that have had that award, you know, that they've earned through the years, you know, they're in history and they've made their mark. And typically you don't have a Joe Montana or a Tom Brady or, you know, John Elway. Those guys don't happen that often. It's typically somebody that comes in and has a great game or a great season or a great playoff run, and that's it. So he's got his mark now. He's done it. He's in that fraternity, and I'm really happy for him.
All right, and now with the Super Bowl behind us, let's focus our attention on getting back into high school sports here. Of course, the biannual UIL realignment was this past week. And, well, Coach, I guess the district, as we've known it for many years now, is a thing of the past. Boy, a lot of new faces in the football district next year.
Yeah, obviously, it's been going on in the smaller classes and kind of moved up the ladder. And this will be the first time that Class 5A will have a split conference. And that's done in football only. And their rationale behind that are two different things. One, they feel like in a game like football that takes basically 22 or more players to play in a game, and start in a game, that when you have a lot of depth versus not much depth, it's more affecting in football than other sports. And that's what they the UIL has said as they've studied this in all sports. So they have the split conference for football only. I think another reason why they do that is when they pair you with schools that are close in size to you, there's going to be travel involved, and certainly there'll be travel in our district. And if you did that in every sport, you're talking about Tuesdays and, you know, during the week of kids having to travel and go a long way, where the Friday night situation, and you don't do a round robin, like our next year's, our schedule comes out, we'll have to travel to Marble Falls, but I think that is, and that's a 2.5 hour ride, but it's a one time deal, you know. And then of course the next year they'll come here, and that's really the one that has the distance. And I've already talked with the AD at Bastrop, and our sub varsities that play on Thursday night, we will play that that game in Bastrop. So it'll be halfway for both schools. But, you know, because of this split conference, there will be different districts for different sports, and that's a little bit confusing. And me being more of a traditionalist, I don't like that part of it. I wish that we were all in the same district.
As you mentioned, there's going to be a lot of travel involved in this. The new district for Brenham will be District 13 in 5A Division II. Now, the opponents in district play, you've got Bastrop, Cedar Creek, Elgin, Eastview, and Marble Falls, and then two new schools. You've got Leander Glen and Pflugerville Weiss. Now, these are new schools, and while for the first couple of years, they're probably going to be, I won't say pencil in a win, but they're not going to be probably as competitive as some of the other teams. But also, when you're facing new teams, new programs, that's obviously got to be a little bit tough on your program, because do you get a lot out of those games?
Well, I've never been in this situation. We've had two. Magnolia West was the last time we had an opponent that was a school that started up and we got in the district with, and it took them a couple of years to get going. It did. But I think the thing that I walk away with looking at this district is the fact that there's so many teams that we've never played. In my 20 years here, we've never played Bastrop or Cedar Creek. We have played Georgetown Eastview in the by-district round back in 2013. Marble Falls, we never played them. Of course, the two new schools. Now, we have played Elgin. And so the one school that we are familiar with, we played even last year, is Elgin. So going into a district that you really don't know your opponents, it's kind of exciting. It'll be different. I know there'll be some nice stadiums. Bastrop, we played a playoff game there. Their stadium is very nice. We played in Elgin. Their stadium is okay. It's not bad. Georgetown Eastview, they play in a beautiful stadium. We played semifinals there against Kerrville Tivy. It's really nice. We've been told that the Leander stadium that we will play in is their big stadium, and it's really, really nice. Pflugerville has a nice stadium, and then the Marble Falls just redid there. So I think facility-wise, it's going to be some good places to play with nice venues. And again, yes, there is travel involved, but if you look at it, this is what we talked about when we went and spent time with the schools that are that were already doing the split conference, and that's in 4A and 3A and 2A. And they said, while you're having to travel more in district, you're going to be able to play preseason games that are close to you because those guys are no longer in your district. So it kind of weighs itself out. It really does. When you look at the overall schedule, we'll play Magnolia West, which is a common opponent. We'll play Waller, which is a common opponent. And we'll play Houston Heights. So, I think as all in all, there is some travel involved, but other than that one game to Marble Falls, I don't foresee the other games being. We'll have one trip to Bastrop. That's a good trip. This first time we will make a trip to Leander, and that's will be it won't be much different than going to Elgin, just a little bit farther than that. So I think it's going to be fine. I really do.
All right. And as you said, the thing is, though, you're kind of going into it blind, because these are programs we just, other than seeing, win-loss records and such, you just don't know a lot about.
No, you don't. But, as interesting as the district, and that's one thing that's interesting, the other interesting thing is your path through the playoffs. It will be in Region 4 now instead of Region 3. So we will not be playing a Houston area team or an East Texas area team until the semifinals. Your powerhouses in the Region 4 would be, that's in our division, would be Cal Allen, which we lost to in the semifinals. Also, you have Gregory Portland, Port Lavaca Calhoun, which we played in the semifinals, and Kerrville Tivy, that we played in the semifinals. So those are the traditional. Also, Alamo Heights is in our division. I think those are the top schools in the region. There are four districts in that region that you would play to get to the semis. And I feel really good about that path. I mean, it will give our guys a chance if we can put out a good football team.
All right. Now, also, we look at the other sports quickly. Volleyball, basketball, baseball, softball, a lot closer schools. But boy, I tell you what, there are some loaded athletic programs in that district. District 19 in Region 3, and Brennan will be in with Brian Rutter, College Station High, A&M Consolidated, Magnolia West, Waller, and new school like Katie Paytow. And while it's a new school, if it's in the Katy area, they're going to have a large student body to draw from. So this could be a very loaded district as far as talent. And boy, it's going to be tough. If you come out of this district in the playoffs in any sport, you're going to be a really tough team.
Oh, you're right. It is extremely brutal. Very, very tough district. College Station, and A&M Consolidated, the two Magnolia schools, those schools alone are four really, really good teams. Now, I do think the Katy school will take a while, just like you talked about before with the new schools we talked about earlier. I think that will take a little while for that school to get going, but and Brian Rutter and Waller will be in there as well. But the two College Station schools and the two Magnolia schools, just about in every sport, are just lethal. I mean, just really, really good. So it will be extremely tough on us. And you said it right. If you get out of this district, I think you'll be able to say that you're worthy. If you look at the districts, the next district to that, it's got the two Montgomery schools and the new Montgomery school in Tomball, in Huntsville over there as well. I do feel like, that is a district that we'll have a chance to, if we can get out of the district, we'll have a chance to advance past. Hopefully. So it's not quite as brutal for my district, but it is going to be really, really tough in district.
Now, was there any, I guess, theme or rhyme or reason that the UIL was given coming in? Because usually every couple of years they'll say, well, we're going to concentrate on this, or we're going to concentrate a little more on that, or we're going to concentrate a little more on something else. Was there something that they kind of targeted or that they had kind of stated that they were going to take into consideration maybe a little bit more this time around?
Yeah, well, the adding of the split conference in 5A for football, that's been on the table now for a couple of years, and that was the big push that's done, and it's up now for discussion and for voting for 6A, and so that would be the last school that would happen at. We'll see what happens. The football already has two state champions in each class versus other sports that just have one. So that in itself makes it a whole new animal. And the split conference, what that does, Ed, is it just tells you from the start who's your path, where what we've been used to is that you go to get ready to go to the playoffs and you kind of see where everything shakes down. But football has already operated with 12 state champions. Instead of just one per classification. And all this did was pave the way at the beginning and say, this is for sure who you'll be playing, on your road to state. And that hadn't been the case for any other sport. So, I think they just tried to clarify that and kept the other sports the same. The difference is, when they did it the old way, you could, you could stay in the same district for everything, and then you split it after that happened. This is a new way of thinking, and again, talking to the other, I'm such a traditionalist that it's hard for me. I'm not used to doing this kind of thing, so it's new. But talking to the other schools, Belleville being one of them, but all of them that are already doing this, they don't seem to have a problem with it. It does seem strange for me. I mean, we'll have two district meetings, two district chairs, be operating, differently. But it's the way it is and the way it's going to be, and so we'll make the most of it. And I do think we will get competitive in a hurry and get back our winning ways, even though this is a tough, tough district. If you look at our softball team last year, we defeated College Station in softball to advance, and so we've already competed against those guys in several sports, and baseball as well. So it's I think we will even though it'll be tough, I think we'll hold our own, and I think we'll end up being very competitive and very proud of our program in those ways.
All right, and one other thing that people were talking, conversing over the week, talking to other people about this, and they took a look at the district and said, "Boy, that's going to be a lot of travel for the football team." But I tell you what, there are some other schools in the state that are going to have to do a lot more traveling than we'll have to do. So we're not at the bottom of the totem pole.
No, and one thing that you have to say when you look at these things. Even though we didn't see this coming, when you start looking at the number of teams that have to be in each region and the number of districts that have to be there, then it comes down to mathematics. And, there will be some areas that have to travel a lot. And it turned out that it was going to be somebody was going to have, what I'd been told from the get-go was Brenham could go several different directions, could go into Houston, could go east, or could go west. And we ended up going west. And because we kind of stick out there by ourselves, size-wise. There is going to be some travel. But that, I think as this state keeps growing the way that it's growing and different, Brenham itself, I came here in 1998, and we had 1,600 students in our high school. We have 1,450 now, so we're 150 students less in Brenham High School than we had in 1998. That's not the case. If you look at what around the district, the size, we were the largest school in our district at that time in 1998. And if you remember, our first year to make the playoffs, we played Jacksonville in football. We were in the big school division. And so we've gone from that to not only the smallest, but the smallest by over 300 students, opponents. And I think you see that because there's such growth going on in College Station. There's such growth going on in Magnolia. Even in Waller is growing, really growing fast. So all these areas across the state are growing, and by us not growing, it's going to force us to continue to have to play, from distances. And so it's just a changing way. I don't know the word I hear in College Station, before as they keep growing, they'll add another high school because they want to stay, at the 5A level. I don't think that's the case in Bryan. They've already kind of declared that Bryan High is going to be their big school and Rudder will be their smaller of the two. So, and it also depends on, the strategies by school districts of what they want to do. Bryan ISD still plays at one stadium. And, already College Station has decided that they would have a stadium on each campus. It's just, what you pick, what you choose and want to do. But one thing is for sure that this is not the same state that it was in 1998 when it comes to athletics.
All right, and Coach, just changing gears. How's everything else going in the football off season?
Oh, it's good. This is the time of the year that you know, we push our kids to play every sport that they can possibly play. And, but there is, you know, a large group that, that just participates in football. And so we get, stronger and faster at this time of year. And our kids are doing a really good job of that. Their attitudes are great. Our coaches are working hard. Our players are working hard, and we're seeing improvement.
All right, and of course, basketball winding down. Soccer has gotten into district play, and now we're getting ready to crank up track and field, baseball, and softball. And of course, all three programs had good years last year, and looking to repeat some more success this year.
Yeah, this is the busiest time of the year. We're about to be in it, and we're every single sport in the spring is playing at one time. And you know, I talked to other ADs, and we laughed. We have so many things going on in one night. We say we have drive-bys. We have to go drive by one stadium for a while and watch something, go by a gym and watch something else, go by a field and watch something else. And we're just at that time of the year where we're extremely busy. A lot going on, but isn't it great that we have these things for our young people to do, and they can stay so active and be competitive and work for something. So really, really happy that we provide these things for our kids.
Absolutely. And, of course, we also don't want to slight tennis tournament play and the golf season cranking up. So also
and
those
are,
programs.
And those that are pretty much year-round. I mean,
right.
they really don't take a break. They go, you have a fall, like tennis has a team tennis in the fall and then individual tennis in the spring, and which is a little different. And then golf is year-round as well.
All right. So, Coach, everything cranking up in full force, and now we've got an idea of what to look forward to in 2018 coming up in the fall for football. So everything good and everything's going great.
Yes, it is, and it will be different, but sometimes different is good. So we look forward to how that shakes out, and it ought to be a lot of fun.
All right, Coach, and as always, appreciate you joining us here on the Brenham Sports Line.
Well, very happy to be here and glad you needed to talk to somebody.
All right. Coach, as always, a pleasure. And, again, look forward to seeing you at all those sports as we crank up this spring.
Yes, sir. We look forward to it.
All right. Coach Glenn West joining us here on the Brenham Sports Line. We'll be back with more right after this.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu with favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the McChicken, the Bacon McDouble, the Happy Meal, and...
A weekend getaway with the husband and kids?
No. But the $1-$2-$3 menu could help you save for one.
Especially if we leave the kids at home.
With Grandma, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Tune in Tuesdays at 9 a.m. for Community Corner on KWHI AM 1280. Community Corner is a program to keep you informed about happenings in Washington County. Tuesday, February 6th, Craig will be talking about Brenham Activist Association annual Black History Breakfast. If you have an event that you're planning and would like to share the information with the public, contact Holly at 979-836-3655. Community Corner, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on Friendly Country.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Chuck Sievertson. This may be the Wall Street market's correction, but is it over, at least for the day? With this closing bell of the New York Stock Exchange, the Dow lost over 600 points Friday and another 1,100 plus today. Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist with B. Riley FBR.
It doesn't mean the fundamental picture has changed. It just means the market's going through that phase. Haven't seen it in about 13 months, but it's hitting us right in the eyes as we head into February here, and it certainly happened very, very quickly.
The broader S&P index lost 113 points, the NASDAQ down 273. Price of regular grade gasoline in the U.S. is been on the rise for weeks, now an average 34 cents a gallon, higher than a year ago at this time. The Energy Department says the average is 2.64 a gallon. The Supreme Court lets a court-ordered redrawing of congressional districts in Pennsylvania proceed. A lower court ruling, the current map unconstitutionally favors one party, Republicans. State lawmakers have four more days to meet a court deadline for redrawing the map. The House Intelligence Committees presented the Democratic rebuttal to the Republican memo on the FBI. For President Trump to release, he has 5 days to decide. Congressman Adam Schiff, top Democrat on the Intel panel.
It's going to be very hard for the White House, like it was hard for the Republicans on our committee, to block release of this. I am more concerned that they make political redactions, not redactions to protect sources and methods.
A sad irony voted by NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt investigating yesterday's fatal crash of an Amtrak passenger train into the back of a CSX freight train in South Carolina. A system called positive train control could have prevented the accident, investigators say.
As has been reported, the signaling system was inoperative due to signal upgrades for positive train control.
Vice President Pence on his way to Alaska, Japan, and South Korea. This is ABC News.
Do you owe the IRS more than $10,000 in taxes? The government now has tax debt relief programs in place, and you have rights. Call Tax Representation today. Has the IRS threatened to freeze your bank accounts, take your home, your cars, and garnish your wage? We are the industry experts with negotiating with the IRS, and one of the very few that has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. We'll contact the IRS the same day, putting a stop to bank levies and wage garnishments. Call 800-295-1046. That's 800-295-1046.
It's time to join the millions of people using Zoom video conferencing. Turn any size conference room, huddle room, or executive office into a Zoom room with flawless HD video, crystal clear audio, and instant wireless sharing. It'll even work with your existing hardware. Start your meetings with a single touch or use Zoom's new voice command feature. Hey Zoom, start meeting. Huddle happy. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free Zoom room trial today. That's Zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
With snow hitting the Midwest, causing several fatal accidents on roads, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why there's so many accidents being cleaned up right now. A 50-car pileup north of Des Moines, according to Sergeant Nathan Ludwig of Iowa State Patrol.
People driving too fast on the road and not giving themselves enough following distance, which caused a lot of chain reaction pileups.
Sure, one knows the reaction among the Super Bowl winners, Eagles quarterback Nick Foles at Disney World.
It's unbelievable to be out here with everyone here. I mean, we're celebrating. To be at Disney World.
But what did Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia say to his players after the game?
It's obviously bittersweet right now for the season. You know, I mean, that's kind of my focus is for tonight and the guys. I mean, teams change every year and the players. So my first, my first accord is to go in and just tell those guys, you know, in the room how much I appreciate them and how much, you know, they worked really hard this year.
First ever Super Bowl victory for the Eagles. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
I'm Ed Potha with the KWHI Local News Update. Longtime Burnham attorney Steve Haley has died. Haley had been battling an illness since last summer. Haley, a partner in the Burnham law firm of Mormon, Tate, Haley, Upchurch, and Yates, specialized in real estate transactions and litigation. He was a frequent speaker and lecturer and was a strong supporter of the arts and a frequent performer in productions by the Navasota Theater Alliance and at Washington on the Brazos. A Belleville woman is dead following a two-vehicle collision over the weekend in Brenham. Janice Orange Cass of Belleville pronounced dead at the scene of the accident that occurred just before 10 o'clock Friday night at the intersection of West Stone and South Day. Authorities say the two vehicles collided and that, according to police, three people were in the second vehicle, two taken to the hospital for treatment, a third fled the scene and was taken into custody after a search that included the Brenham Police canine. Police say they are not releasing charges yet, pending their ongoing investigation. The retrial and the punishment phase of a man convicted of killing a College Station woman has gotten underway. In 2012, Stanley Griffin convicted of strangling 29-year-old Jennifer Haley to death at a College Station home. Texas Court of Criminal Appeals threw out the death sentence for Griffin, but upheld the conviction. He's appearing in a new punishment trial in 361st District Court.
Political commentator and former U.S. Congressman Alan West will be the keynote speaker for the 2018 Washington County Republican Club Reagan's Dinner, set for Tuesday night, February 27th at Silver Wings Ballroom. For more information, go to WashingtonCountyTXGOP.org. Forecast calling for cloudy skies, a high of 58, 50% chance of rain overnight, a low of 54. I'm Ed Poffel for KWHI, where the news comes first.
The March primary elections are only a month away. Learn about the candidates at our Candidates Forum on Wednesday, February 7th at 5:30 p.m. Attend the forum at Brenham National Bank or listen to it live on KWHI 1280 or KWHI.com. Featured will be Washington County candidates in the contested primary races for County Judge, County Commissioner Precinct 2, Constable Precinct 4, and County Court at Law Judge. That's KWHI's Candidates Forum, Wednesday, February 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Brenham National Bank.
Downey is the most affordable when it comes to print advertising.
That's what just one business person has to say about advertising in your local Downey telephone directory from Downey Publishing. And lots of other business people feel the same way. Just listen.
Full page ads every year since day one in color, going into our seventh year.
Our ROI on Downey advertising has been very good.
We ask them when they call in, and you'd be very surprised of how many tell us the Downey phone book.
Many time that we get a lead, we're going to ask that person, you know, how did you come across our name? And we're averaging at least one or two accounts a week.
It's not uncommon to see the book opened to that page sitting on the coffee table or the couch.
It's a huge loss not putting an ad in the Downey phone book.
Everything you need in one telephone directory. Downey delivers.
To advertise, call today, 866-7-DOWNEY.
And we are back on the Brenham Sports Line. Sports Talk with a Local Attitude, brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and Classic Care Cleaners. Say that three times fast. South Market Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. I want to thank Coach Glenn West for joining us in the first half of the program as we broke down the new district alignments for Brenham. And looking forward to the 2018 football season and the 2018-19 athletic seasons as a whole. And also taking a little look at the Super Bowl. And now somebody not nearly as qualified to look at the Super Bowl as Coach West, Lumpy, our own Craig Montana, joins us via the Brenham Sports Line. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Just kind of kicking back and relaxing tonight.
Are you still trying to adjust to a world where the Philadelphia Eagles are the reigning Super Bowl champions?
Oh, just something ain't right. It doesn't feel right, and I don't like it.
I tell you what, sports hatred is an ugly thing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But would it be without it?
But I understand you simply because I feel that way about the New York Yankees.
There you go.
But the funny thing is that you would think I would be taking it harder than you, because you know I'm a Patriot fan, big Patriot fan, have been since that 83 Super Bowl when they got just butt-whooped by the Chicago Bears. That's kind of when I became a Patriot fan. So I've been a fan since then. So you think I would be taking it a little worse? I'm not. It was a good game. The Patriots came close to pulling off another miraculous finish. If that ball may have been just a couple of inches maybe to the left. Grant came within probably 2 inches of making a spectacular play, but it didn't happen.
I don't know if he was trying to catch it or just knock it back towards Hogan or Amendola, yeah. Really and truly.
He may have been trying to do that, too. That would have been an incredible finish, too.
Which would have been the better play to do because he had five guys on.
Yeah, there were five guys on Gronk. So, but you know, I wasn't all that upset with Philadelphia winning Super Bowl. I think a lot of the stories leading up to it about the long suffering Eagle fans that have they haven't won a championship. They haven't won a championship
whatever.
Since 1961, dude. That's like 57 years ago.
Oh, cry me a river.
Uh huh. You know, I mean, you know, and it's only been what? 20 some years since the Cowboys won a championship. So, you know.
Yeah, 23.
23, you know. So, you know, and it's been 61 for the Eagles. So, you know, kind of a little slack.
Well, you know, couldn't happen to a better team.
No. Now, here's the thing that just I get tickled about. Is that, you know, a lot of the Cowboy fans I've been talking to, they hate the Eagles, they despise the Eagles, and all they do is badmouth the Eagle fans. Now, I've long been of the contention that no team has worse fans, or no team has the worst fans. All teams have bad fans, if you look at every team has ugly, bad fans.
They do.
And Philadelphia
but
is no different
Eagles
than anybody
as a
else. And every team has great fans, cool fans. And in fact, most teams in the NFL, I would say, probably have 90% of their fans are good fans. But it's that 10% that you always hear about.
It's probably closer to 40% on the Eagles.
Oh, here we go. So, you know, I mean, even for, you know, the team that I root for, the Patriots, even they, there was a time when they would not play, they would not let them, the Patriots, play on Monday Night Football simply because their fans were so bad. They would spend all day drinking, and there would be massive violence and lewd acts in the stands during Monday Night Football. So they banned the Patriots from Monday Night Football for a number of years before the Robert Kraft took over. That is, once he took it over, he cleaned everything up. But, you know, there was a time where their fans got so out of control, they weren't allowed to have Monday Night Football games. You know, and every team has fans that get out of control. You know, but it's just
tell you, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus deserved to be booed that year. It was a fill-in. It was a fill-in Santa Claus, and it was the team was so bad. The team was so bad. They weren't even going to have Santa Claus, and there was a guy there in the stands that always came to the games dressed as Santa Claus. Just, and you see it at all NFL stadiums. You get close to the holidays, there's guys in the stands dressed as Santa Claus. And the team was getting pummeled, and they were going to have Santa Claus at halftime. Well, they, you know, and they wanted to do something. The team was getting beat so bad, so they asked the guy to come down, come out of the field and wave to the fans, and they thought maybe Santa Claus would appease the fans. Well, nope, didn't happen.
No, excuses.
So, you know. But anyway, the Super Bowl is history, and I tell you what, another in what has been a line of recent really entertaining, fun Super Bowls.
It was. It was a very entertaining game, back and forth. Had my emotions flaring about the entire game.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was a fun game. At times, not real well played. You know, at times the defenses, you wondered where the defenses were. But I think on the whole, I thought a really exciting and boy, I tell you, well played offensive football game.
Yeah, really, on both, you know, all facets. You know, the running game for the Eagles is really good.
Yeah, I tell you.
They just didn't have a, you know, and I'm curious to see, because evidently, and I didn't notice it till later on, that Malcolm Butler, evidently, was benched for the game.
I did not play it down.
Yeah,
and I think,
they,
you know,
may play special teams.
Well, here's my, my guess at that is that they decided to go with a different starter. You know, and Belichick told him right before kickoff that they were going to go with a different starter, bigger, stronger defensive back. I can't remember his name right now. Had only started a couple of games for the Patriots this year, but he was bigger and stronger. And they thought maybe his size would help against Philadelphia's bigger wideouts. So it was a last second decision to start him at defensive back. Bench Malcolm Butler, and I believe the plan was to use Butler in a reserve role. He was going to get playing time, but if you noticed, he did nothing but pout during the national anthem. They had the camera on him in the national anthem, and he did not react well to it. He may have, and I'm just guessing here, I'm philosophicalizing it.
Thank you. No problem.
That maybe he said something to Bill Belichick during, you know, when he told him he wasn't going to start, because he was extremely upset during the national anthem, which, by the way, was exquisitely done by Pink. She knocked it out of the ballpark once she got the gum out of her mouth. But she explained later, some people said, oh, that was so disgusting. She spit the gum out and then sang the national anthem. But she needed the gum because she has the flu. And the gum was keeping her mouth moist so that she could sing the national anthem, because she has the flu and did not want to cancel out on the national anthem in the Super Bowl. So she was chewing gum to keep her mouth, you know, to keep her mouth hydrated, and forgot to get rid of it before the camera came on her, and she spit it out, and but she was doing it so she could sing the national anthem, and she aced it. But anyway, during the national anthem, if you see, Malcolm Butler was really having an adverse reaction to the news. And
it was the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, and I understand that.
But
I'm just guessing that he may have said something or did something that Bill Belichick said, fine, you know what? Sit on the bench if you're going to react like that. Because one thing that Belichick is all about, and it is team. They're like the Borg. It's all for the good of the Borg. It's all for the good of the team.
Yeah. But it may have cost him because Aguilar and Jeffries had a good game.
I understand that. But, I'm just saying, my theory is maybe Butler said something that may have been so far out of bounds that maybe Belichick said, you know what? We can lose this game with you or without you. And if you're gonna react like that, go on in there and block for punt returns.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they didn't want him on the team anyway. They tried to get rid of him with that Brandon Cooks trade. Anyway.
Yeah. I got to say, the thing that makes it not feel so bad for the Patriots losing the Super Bowl is the story of some of those Eagles. And the story of Nick Foles is awesome. Awesome story.
Yeah, I mean, he was his rookie year or second year when he was just lighting up the league.
Broke the record for the highest-rated quarterback in NFL history.
Because he threw how many touchdowns without an interception? I do like one interception the entire year, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't many.
I mean, he put up the kind of numbers I believe Tom Brady put up about 7 or 8 years ago when he broke all those records. Those were the numbers that Foles put up. I mean, he was phenomenal his second or third year in the league.
Yeah.
When they made him the starter. Mm-hmm. And then they get the pick for Carson Wentz.
Yeah. And they ship Foles off to the Rams.
The Rams, where he was on the bench there, too.
Yeah.
Wanted to quit football. In fact, the story was he had quit football, and it was his wife that talked him back into football. And she's the one who said, because they were, like he said, the contracts that he'd signed with the Rams, they were comfortable enough. They were not going, he wasn't going to have to work, and it wasn't going to be, oh, well, he's out of a job and we're going to be destitute. But he said his wife talked him back into playing because she saw how much he loved the game. Went back to Philadelphia, and I mean, this is just the kind. This is the kind of stuff that you know. This is the kind of stuff fairy tales are made of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's and by the way, on a separate note, not enough use in cute for how his daughter looked with those pink headphones on the field when he was accepting the MVP trophy. That may be the cutest trophy acceptance of all time.
I quit watching way before that, so I don't know.
His daughter, who's only a few, is a little less than a year old, I believe, was he was holding her in his arms, and she had these little pink headphones on so that she, you know, the noise wouldn't hurt her ears, and a little bow in her hair, and was absolutely the cutest thing in the Super Bowl. But
I said, all right then.
There you go. There you go. But as for the game itself, you got to give the Eagles credit, because when the Patriots drove down and took the lead at 33-32, there was every opportunity in the world to just pack up the tents and just say, here they, you know, This is the Patriots again. They're just they. This is just how they. This is how they win, and this thing's over. And they didn't. And they didn't. I tell you, the Eagles. Doug Peterson has done an incredible job coaching that football team.
Yeah. Well, you think. I mean, just both teams. I mean, think about it. There was one punt in the entire game.
Yeah. And it was by the team that won. It was by the team that won the game.
Yeah. Only one punt, two turnovers. Every other drive, I think, was a scoring play.
Yeah.
Scoring drive.
Yep.
Three drives that didn't score. So both teams are just, going up and down the field.
And just, and the thing was, the Patriots had the ball with plenty of time to go.
Yeah.
Here it comes, another big Patriot comeback. And what happened is they, and not the last drive, but the drive before that, where they forced Tom Brady into the only turnover of the game. The only Patriots turnover of the game.
Yeah.
And the only one they made in the postseason.
Was it really?
That was their only turnover of the postseason.
Wow. With an opportune time to
That was where the defensive pass rush, which has been Philadelphia's bread and butter all season, has been their pass rush. Their front seven is as good as any in the NFL. And
they got to
Brady on the last on the biggest drive of the whole ball game.
Yeah, I had said if the Eagles had any shot at winning, it would be the defense making the Patriots stop them on drives.
But it's as Brady throwing for over 550 yards, the greatest game as he had. I think we may have seen the last time that Tom Brady goes out for a pass.
You think so?
He gator armed that big time.
I mean, he did a little bit.
But the thing is, you can't expect a quarterback to lay out for a pass.
No.
I mean, if he had just laid out, left his feet, and just did a,
If he laid out, but if he would have just jumped and got a little few more inches of vertical.
I don't think he can jump any higher.
That may be.
But had he been able to catch that, how amazing would that have been that both quarterbacks caught passes in the Super Bowl?
It would have been, because that would have been an amazing catch, number one.
Yeah.
And it would have, took a little win of the sales, I guess, of the Eagles, making a play like
that.
Yeah,
I mean, because to come right back and to do that would have been tough on the Eagles, but they couldn't connect on it. And here's the thing: Foles became just the third quarterback in Super Bowl history to catch a touchdown pass. The others, John Elway, almost the same play, kind of play.
Okay.
It was kind of a flea flicker play, and Elway pitched the ball, but Elway actually took the snap and pitched the ball, and then rolled out, and then the pitch man stopped threw it back to Elway, touchdown. The other, Jim Kelly, on a pass that was blocked, came right back into his gut, and he ran it in for a touchdown. So technically, he threw the touchdown pass to himself.
A la Marcus Mariota earlier this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
but, okay, that's something to know.
Yeah, that could maybe get you a drink at the bar one of these nights.
Yeah, you know, that's so, $2 gets you $2.
That's darn right. But I thought, as a whole, a very entertaining Super Bowl, a fun Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The only thing that took away from it was I thought a really weak halftime show. Was not a fan of what's his name?
Justin Timberlake.
I'm not a fan of his anyway. But I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Not good. And I understand the whole lip-syncing thing because you're in a football stadium and they have to have the sound right for television. So I understand the lip-syncing.
No.
I understand the lip-syncing because they want to get the sound right for television.
You are a professional singer.
I understand. You know, I know that. I know that.
That's what your bread and butter is, singing. Let's sing.
Yeah. Now, I tell you, one of the best halftime shows was last year. Lady Gaga did not lip-sync. She did the whole thing live. So, so I think Justin Timberlake could have too, but it was not a very good song selection. And when he paid tribute to Prince, which he had told everybody he was going to do anyway,
it
could have been a lot better song. Yeah, I think I would have preferred Purple Rain or something like that.
My favorite, When Doves Cry, you can do that anytime.
Something like that.
Like if you're going to go with a song like that, ballad like he did.
Yeah.
Title.
But, of course, you're talking about Justin Timberlake, the man who exposed Janet Jackson to the world. So I'm thinking, why not just go with Darling Nikki?
Oh, that would have went over well with the Simpsons.
I think the NFL would have. I think Roger Goodell would not have made it to the stage to give out the trophy because he would have. He would be in ICU right now as soon as Justin Timberlake busted out Darling Nikki.
Wow!
But for those of you who don't know, there are many four-letter words in that song. A lot of them.
A lot of innuendo. Well, not even innuendos, man.
Yeah, he just flat out gets dirty and nasty in that song. But anyway.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So, from what I've been seeing on television, if you look on social media, they're playing up violence by Eagle fans, those horrible Eagle fans, it's massive violence. Well, they're showing like two or three incidents that took place, and I'm thinking these are probably fans of the Cowboys and the Giants that are probably doing this because I've seen actually somewhat untainted news reports that said actually there were a couple of very minor incidents that happen in a lot of cities when people celebrate sports championships, and there is no preponderance of violence in Philadelphia over this thing. I'm guessing a lot of those Facebook posts are probably Giants and Cowboy fans, and maybe a few Washington fans in there. And maybe some Steeler fans that are jealous that the team across state actually finally got a Super Bowl. I'm thinking those are the folks that are posting these things that are just saying massive wanton violence because that's not the case on the
and the earth is flat. Quit the conspiracy.
The objective media reports. Okay, flat earth guy. But be that as it may, I tell you what. You look at the way the team is constructed. You look at the way the contracts are constructed. You look at the fact that their backup quarterback did this. I'm thinking the Eagles may be the favorite to win it again next year. They're getting their starting quarterback back. Everybody else is back except for you know, maybe a couple of veterans that might retire, like Long or Blunt, or, you know, those guys might retire. They might move on. Yeah. But
Blunt was even a big focus of the game yesterday anyway. So Corey Clement and Jay and Jai were the big focus.
But Blunt had a couple of big runs in that first half. Blunt had that huge run that set up their first touchdown. That was a big run. What was it, about 25 yards, 30 yards? I didn't think LeGarrette Blount could run 30 yards anymore.
Nobody did.
LeGarrette Blount runs 5 yards harder than any other human being on earth. He is like the old phrase saying, he could take on a grizzly bear at 5 yards. But he rumbled and bumbled along to about 30 yards on that one run. That was the key play in their first touchdown that made it a 9-3 ball game. So, you know, but we'll see. We'll see. The Eagles may be the favorites going into next year because, like I said, everybody's under really good contracts right now. They're key players. Most of that entire offensive line is under contract for the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, don't forget that the Falcons were too.
Yeah.
From last year.
Yeah.
The question is, are the Eagles losing any coaches? Because that's what happened to the Falcons.
Yeah.
They lost the offensive coordinator and just never been able to recover.
Well, the Falcons aren't losing any coaches, but I think the Patriots have already lost two.
Just one.
One today, yeah, but maybe another in the next couple of days.
Reports are saying that maybe. I'm hearing reports that he may stay with the
Pats.
And he may be the heir apparent to Belichick.
And we're talking about offensive coordinator.
Josh Daniels.
Josh Daniels, yeah. The defensive coordinator, though, now does have a new job as of today.
Yeah, Matt Patricia. Yeah. I think he deserves one.
And he does. I tell you what, though, it's going to be funny looking at a head coach with that beard and a cap on backwards.
Yeah.
That's not what I think when I think NFL head coach. But
it is a Lion, so.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to get that team going up there.
You know.
They got too much talent to be as mediocre as they've been for the last 10 years.
Yeah, their defense is always, you know, good players, but it's just for some reason. They just can't. They can't get a running back.
And they got a great quarterback. They got a couple of good, decent running backs. Not good. These guys, I think, you know, there's a couple. What's his name? The guy that played towards the end of the year.
Who do they have yet? Theo Riddick, and they've got Amir Abdullah.
Theo Riddick. I'm not impressed with Amir Abdullah. I think Theo Riddick proved over the last five games of the season that I think he can be a number one back. But we'll see. We'll see. That's a discussion for another day. We'll discuss that another day. We're talking Super Bowl today.
We're talking Lions. What?
Yeah, we're talking Super Bowl today. I mean, and as always, big part of the Super Bowl. The commercials. Disappointed this year. A disappointing group of commercials this year, although there were a few good ones.
As a whole, though,
not a good group. The whole was not good, but there were a few that stood out. There weren't. I came up, usually I have a top 10 good ones and a bottom five bad ones. Well, I only came up with two bad ones. I only came up with two bad ones, and I did come up with 10 good ones.
Okay.
I did come up with 10 good ones. So, and we'll see how our lists compare here. But,
okay.
At number 10, with the good ones, we're going to do, let's do the bad ones first.
The bad ones? I can do my bad ones. Okay.
All right. What you got for your number one bad one?
My number one bad one is just because I'm just tired of it already. Is the Bud Light Dilly Dilly?
Yeah, I'm
tired of it already.
That didn't make my two bad ones, but it didn't make my top 10 good ones either. It was just
it wasn't good.
No, it wasn't. It was just I think it might have made the bad just because we expected a little more out of Budweiser.
Yeah.
We expected better out of Bud.
No, this is Bud Light. It's not Bud Light.
It's Bud Light. Whatever. We expected.
Hey, there's a difference.
We expected Anheuser-Busch to come up with a better ad.
Okay.
All right. So, how many bad ones do you have?
I've got five.
You got five. Okay. Go ahead and count yours down.
I had Bud Light, the Skittles.
Yeah, Skittles was just, huh? What?
It was just weird.
It was too disjointed. Yeah.
It just missed.
Very disjointed. Okay.
Whatever it was Keanu Reeves was doing.
Yeah, that on the motorcycle. Yeah, that was not.
The one to fire. He had a fire one, too. He had a fire.
Yes.
Threw his computer in the fire.
Yeah, that just made no sense at all. Not a good yeah. commercial, okay?
The Diet Coke. The awkward dancing.
The girl dancing?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she just didn't make a lot of sense, and she was promoting a product that's. Has not gotten very good. Has not gotten very good reviews.
Yeah,
The product is. I mean, I'm sorry, mango flavored Coke.
Yeah, and there's a purple flavored one. I guess. I don't know.
It was not, and the commercial wasn't very good either. It was just.
That was just weird. Awkward.
Yeah. Okay.
And the last one I had, it just missed the mark on me, and a lot of people too, was Dodge and their Martin Luther King.
Okay. I agree with that. Yeah, that's exactly.
It just missed the mark on it.
Well,
and I don't know.
I'm gonna explain in a minute why that's on my list, because my list of two, I've got two,
mm-hmm.
and my number two is one that everybody has ranked very high. I went online and everybody had this ranked very high, and I've got it listed as my number two bad one, and that's the Doritos and Mountain Dew. With Peter Dinklage and Morgan Freeman. It was all over the place, and it was just not it was like you're trying to understand what in the heck they're saying, and it didn't make
sense. Well,
and then Morgan Freeman with the female voice was just, it would have been better if it had been just a better voice. It wasn't, and I thought it was too much hype. And the reason I have it my number two bad is because it was so hyped, and I just thought it really was disappointing.
Lannister and Morgan Freeman, man.
No, it just didn't hit the mark for me. I had that listed as number two bad, and number one was, like you said, the Dodge Ram, the Martin Luther King speech. To me was offensive because they edited Martin Luther King's speech to sell trucks. And if you look at the history of that speech, his speech was anti-big business, anti-advertising, anti-capitalism, everything selling a Dodge Ram truck is about. And to me, it was offensive, and I think the King family should be offended by it, and anyone who respects and honors the legacy of Martin Luther King should be upset with Dodge Ram over this. I think it was a horrible commercial, and I think it was a complete joke as to what it did with this incredible speech and his legacy. And I was offended by it. I thought it was awful.
It was a great message, but that was not the one it was meant for.
No, not at all. Was definitely not happy with it. All right, so now let's move on to the good. The top 10 good ones. So let's kind of alternate here. All right,
okay,
what's your number 10?
Number 10, and this is a case of good advertising and bad advertising. Number 10, I'm going back to Dodge with their Vikings commercial.
Okay.
I thought it was clever.
The Vikings coming over. They go to Minnesota.
To Minneapolis.
And then they find out the Vikings aren't in the game, and they just turn around and go back. That was a great commercial. Yeah.
I mean, if you're a Vikings fan, I guess it was, not too good.
But it was a good commercial. I enjoyed it. I had it actually at number 8.
Really? Okay. That was close there.
I had it number 8. Okay. My number 10. I thought very funny was the Jack in the Box commercial with Martha Stewart. That was very funny when Jack when she ripped off Jack's nose, he cussed her.
Yes.
And then they go to a blank screen.
Yeah.
And then they come back, and he's being dragged out by her goon squad. And
yeah.
she's threatening Jack, and he's threatening her back. I thought that was a very funny, well-done
yeah.
commercial. Jack in the Box, where he threatened
yeah.
Martha Stewart.
It was nice for that, like, 3 seconds of that.
Yeah.
Everything else was like, okay, it's Martha Stewart and...
But I like the fact that he was challenging.
Truck sandwich and
yeah, but I like the fact that he was that Jack's coming in and he's going after Martha Stewart. I thought that was very funny. That was a nice premise.
Read me a cookbook.
Nice premise.
Yeah.
Good commercial. All right. How about number nine?
Okay.
Number nine.
And this was just weird, but it just hit me in all the right places for Breeze.
Yeah, I didn't have it in my top 10, but it was cute. It was.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that his bleep doesn't smell. Yeah. That was a cute commercial.
That one just hit me. And
yeah.
I laughed.
It was funny. It wasn't in my top 10 though.
Yeah.
But number 9, it wasn't funny. Number 9 wasn't funny. I just really liked the way they put these together. And that was the series of the Best of the US NBC Olympic promos. That they did. I just really liked those. I thought they were well done. They were well put together, and they definitely, I think, got people in the mood to watch the Olympics. I enjoyed that. I thought they were good. I thought they were very well done.
Me and my wife, we talked about it all throughout the night. Like, hey, we're ready for it. You know, we can't wait. So, yeah.
All right.
Good job on that one.
How about number 8 for you?
Number 8, and I'm sure this was going to miss you, is Chris Pratt and Michelob Ultra.
Yeah, it was okay. It didn't make my top 10, but it was okay.
I liked it just because, you know, Chris Pratt, here's a famous actor, and oh, he's an extra. And then you see him, they did the other one, he's in the background of every single one of them, so I liked it.
Yeah, okay, all the extras go stand over there.
Yeah.
It was inventive. It was all right. All right, and that was, and that's the one you had at number 8, right? Okay, I had the Dodge Ram Vikings at number 8. My number 7. Was the entire Tide campaign. They were very funny.
Really?
Yeah, I had them at number 7. They were okay. It was very well thought out. My favorite was the Crocodile Dundee one. But the whole campaign, I had at number 7.
Yeah. They came back just as little snippets, an Old Spice guy.
Yeah.
You know, that they had there, like, get off my horse. You know, very meta.
Yeah.
So I like that. I enjoyed it a lot, and plus you had a guy, the cop from Stranger Things in it. So can't go wrong there.
Where did you have that one ranked?
I had that number 1.
Really?
My number 1.
Wow.
It owned it for me.
Wow.
Every time,
okay.
Every time it came on, they got me.
Yeah.
Every time, like, oh, this is Tide ad. I was like, ah. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
The entire night, he got me.
It was very well done, very intelligent. But there were some others that I thought were funnier, as a whole. But it was a good campaign and well thought out. All right. Well,
everything was so short throughout it.
Yeah.
They were able to go all the way through, and I like that.
All right. How about number 7? How about number 7 for you?
Number 7 is coming in at Amazon, and Alexa loses her voice.
All right. All right, Alexa loses her voice. That was a good one. That was I like the celebrities they chose for those, of course.
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay cussing out the guy. How do you make grilled cheese? Are you serious?
The ingredients, grilled cheese.
That and Hannibal Lecter at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Hannibal Lecter with his peacock.
Yeah, I think Rebel Wilson was a bit weird and uncomfortable, but it was still funny.
That was very good. I had that actually ranked up at number 4. I had that at number 4 in mine.
All right.
Number 6 on your list.
Number 6 is going to be, for me, Tour Australia.
Oh, okay.
Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason it wasn't higher on my list is just because I knew...
Yeah.
It wasn't a Crocodile Dundee commercial.
Right.
Crocodile Dundee movie.
Yeah.
They hyped it way too advanced.
It was pretty good. I didn't have it on my top 10, but it was good. It was inventive and it was different, and You know, I thought it was pretty good. At number six, I had one that a lot of people didn't like, but I laughed like crazy, and that was the Groupon. With Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
And
who is she?
I'm a comedian.
Okay.
But she was just part of it. The best part was the rich guy who was against local business. I hate local business. I despise local business. I'm taking local business out.
Yes,
and he opens up the door. No, destroy them. Destroy local business.
Yeah.
And those guys kick the football right into his groin and just drop him. I laughed so hard at the end of that commercial. That was well done. Okay, let's see. That was number six. What was your number six?
Yeah. The Tour Shawty.
Okay. Now number five. What's your number five? There you go.
Number five is one that evidently you hated. Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Okay. Yeah. I just didn't like it because it was just too messy to me, and I did not. I think it would have been a lot funnier if they'd have picked a better voice for Morgan Freeman.
But the thing is, Morgan Freeman's got this.
Oh, I know. I think they could have. They could have picked a better female voice for it. And I thought.
I was the opposite of Morgan Freeman.
I knew it was coming, and I was expecting a better job of the commercial, and I just didn't think they delivered. I understand why you thought it was good. And a lot of people did think it was very good. So, at number five, I've got one. It's not a funny one. It was Verizon honoring first responders. It was a great commercial. Listening to the real life reactions of people who first responders had saved their lives was really moving. And it was a very well done commercial. And I thought Verizon really hit the home run with that one. Hello?
Yeah, there you are.
Okay.
You said it all. I didn't have anything to add to that. I mean, you said it all.
Okay. And how about number, let's see, that was number five. And at number five, you had?
The Doritos.
Okay. All right. Now, number four, I already told you that was my Alexa loses her voice. That was where I had it, was number four. Number four for you.
Manning and ODB.
Wow. All the way down at number four, huh?
Yeah, the ones up above it, I really like, so.
I know why that's number four, cowboy fan. No bias in here. No, sir.
No.
Okay.
No. It's about top five, man. Come on. Happy about it. It was good. I mean, we were sitting there, and it was like, if they don't do the lift, I'm going to be so mad.
Yeah.
And my daughter is walking through, and she knows. And she's like, do it. And they finally did it. And everyone's like, yay!
That was great. So, it was great.
They enjoyed it.
Okay. Now we're up to number three. At number three, I've got the M&M commercial with Danny DeVito. That was hilarious. Because you know why? Danny DeVito looks like a living M&M.
I couldn't tell the difference, really and truly. you're still fat and bald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was a great commercial. I had it at number three.
Yeah. It was great. I love that one.
Okay.
How
about your number three?
My number three was one that really just got me right in the feels with Budweiser and the water commercial.
Oh, yeah. Very good commercial. I had seen it before. They had debuted it, and it was a nicely done. It was a good feel good commercial. I didn't have it in my top 10, but I thought it was a pretty good one. All right, number two.
Number two for me, Eminem.
Eminem. Okay, Eminem. So you had Eminem at
Eminem
number, two.
Was number two.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. At number two, I had one that I don't know if it technically counts as a Super Bowl commercial because it was in the pregame show. But I laughed so hard, I watched it three or four more times today for the Hyundai Kona.
The Hyundai Kona.
If you had not seen it, it was a youth soccer game during the Super Bowl. It was a youth soccer game. Little kids. I mean like five-year-old kids.
Uh-huh.
And the moms and dads are standing on the sideline, and one mom turns to another dad and says, I can't believe they scheduled this on Super Sunday. And he says, yeah, well, it is what it is. So the referee comes zipping up in a Hyundai Kona, runs out with the ball and says, here we go, game. And he puts the ball down on the ground. The first little kid kicks it, and he says, red card. And the little kid looks at him. I mean, these are five-year-old kids. And he says, red card, kicking the ball. You're out of the game. And then this little girl gets a red card. Red card, your shoe's untied. And she just looks and goes, but I can't tie my shoes yet. And she's kicked out of the game. This other kid, he says, hey, kid, give me a high five. And this little five-year-old gives him a high five. Red card, you're out of the game. Right? And then the parents, all of a sudden, they go, he's trying to get us to the Super Bowl. Yeah. So it's just a different reason. This one kid, he kicks the ball and the kid blocks it. Red card, you're too good. Red card. So all of a sudden, there's a ball on the field and there's one little bitty kid. And the little kid looks at him and he goes, nods and goes, okay. And the little kid kicks the ball 2 inches. And the referee goes, red card, game over. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and everybody runs for their cars and leaves the field.
Nice.
And it was awesome. It was a great commercial. It was during the pregame, so it probably doesn't technically count as a Super Bowl commercial. But that was number two for me, was the little kid's soccer game. The cutest thing was the little girl where he gave her a red card because her shoes were untied, and she just goes, well, I can't tie my shoes yet. I mean, it was awesome. It was great. It was a feel-good commercial. It was funny. So if you get a chance, Google Hyundai Kona Super Bowl commercial. Right. It was hilarious.
And you've
coached youth soccer, so you'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah, I did. I did that one time.
All right. So now number one. What's your number one?
It was the Tide.
The whole Tide campaign.
The whole premise behind it, their idea behind it, the way that they did the short commercials all the way through, it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, it was very well done. It was okay. I went with, I'm just like the cattle. I went with the herd. I went with the crowd and took the Eli and OBJ commercial. Dirty Dancing commercial. The way it just mimicked it, where OBJ just at the end he looked at the floor, so forlornly, and Eli just does the little thing with the finger, come on. I mean, it just, and the way the offensive lineman lined up behind him and danced, that was perfect. Yeah. It was well done, well thought out, and who knew that Eli Manning could get down like Patrick Swayze.
Oh, my. Yeah. you know what? Nobody ever make that mistake again. I guarantee you.
No, I'm telling you. Eli's got him some street cred now because he can shake it. He can shake it.
Yeah, when he put the OBJ in the corner.
Oh man, that was awesome though. That was good. So there were, you know, like I said, there were some good ones, but I thought as a whole the whole group was just kind of disappointing. But yeah. I thought the list we came up with was pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. There are some of them there. You know, I probably wouldn't have put in there in other years, but you had to pick. Yeah. You know, we went with 10. We had to pick 10.
Yeah. So there you go. There's our Super Bowl commercial. Recap. So, all right, we've talked about the commercials. We talked about halftime. We talked about the game. I guess we're done, except to say, how about your prediction for next year?
Oh, really?
You ready to make a 364-day pick? Because I'm telling you right now, you sure didn't nail it with your pick just 4 months out.
Yeah, what's going to hurt, right? What's it going to hurt?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right.
Who wins it next year? And we won't hold you to this.
Who wins it overall next year?
Yeah, who's your two Super Bowl teams? I'll let you pick it for next year.
You know what? And just because I like them this year and they did better than I thought they would do this year, I like Jacksonville.
All right.
I like Jacksonville. They've got all the way.
Okay.
AFC Championship game off that team, and I think they'll be better next year. They have a lot of right stuff in place.
And who wins in the NFC?
16 games of Zeke, man. How can you go wrong?
Oh, here we go. Man.
I'm a homer. I'm a homer all the way.
You are a homer all the way. But
yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you what. I'm going to go with probably the popular pick that a lot of people are going to go with, and that is the Rams.
The Rams.
I think the Rams with another year under coach. What's his name? Archie. Doogie Howser, Coach Doogie there.
Yeah.
I think really they. I think the Rams are my 364-day pick in the NFC, and in the AFC, I do like Jacksonville, but just to be different from you, I do like Jacksonville, but just to be different, boy, it's tough. Because actually, my two favorites would probably be Jacksonville or New England. But New England's got a questionable situation with coach and quarterback, and is Gronk going to come back and all that stuff?
We're waffling on this.
So okay. I may just as a long shot.
Okay.
I may go with a long shot. And I may say the Super Bowl will come down to the L.A. Rams and the Oakland Raiders.
Raiders.
Chucky at coach. Man. Derek Carr is going to be reinvigorated with a quarterback-friendly coach. I think they address the defense with their draft. I think they've already got a halfway decent offensive line. If they add one more, if they add a right tackle to that offensive line, I think it's going to be a really good offensive line. So
maybe the running back too.
So my early pick. I tell you what, Gruden has proven that he can win without a dominant running back, because he did it in Oakland before, and he won a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay without a dominant running back.
Okay.
So I think I kind of like the
I can't hate your pick.
And a California Super Bowl between the Raiders and the Rams.
Oh, wow.
But that's 364 days from now. It'll change at least half a dozen times before the draft. And it'll probably change another half a dozen times before we do this at the start of next season.
By the time August rolls around, it'll become, halfway different at least.
All right. Well, buddy, time to wrap it up.
All right, man. Yeah, another season in the books.
That's it. And so that is our Super Bowl spectacular. And we will wrap up the Brenham Sports Line right after these messages.
This is a Budweiser beer. Smooth, crisp, beechwood-aged beer. Brewed the hard way. No shortcuts. So when we wake up itching to prove the world wrong, this is the beer we'll drink. When we aren't afraid to fail, when we outwork and outheart everyone, this is the beer we'll drink. We've got things to do. Great, big, amazing, life-changing things to do. Ambition in one hand, Budweiser in the other. So when that prototype finally works, when we stop calling our startup a startup because it's not a startup anymore, when we win championships we're not supposed to win, when we say we're going to change the world and we actually change the world, this is the beer we'll drink. Budweiser. This is the beer we drank for the last 140 years, so it's going to be the beer we'll drink for 140 more. This Bud's for you.
Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
When your clothes have to look good, trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and drapery cleaned and pressed. And upon request, one-day dry cleaning. And it's a promise. You'll look great in everything they do. Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market in Brenham.
And we are up against it. You've been listening to the Brenham Sports Line, Sports Talk with a Local Attitude.